Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and off we go to the party conventions, into the eye of the storm in more ways than one. WNYC will have a substantial presence there over the next 2 weeks, including our political reporters Anna Sale, Bob Henley, and Todd Zwillick, Brian Lehrer Show producers Paige Cowett and Jody Avergan, wrangling guests on Radio Row, and others. Our politics website, itsafreecountry.org, will be buzzing day and night with articles and chats and other ways for you to interact. And don't forget, I'll be on the air here on WNYC for a 7 o'clock convention night call-in every night that they're in session, in addition to our usual morning show over the next 2 weeks. With us now to preview is our director of special news programming and founder of our Transportation Nation blog, and our former national political reporter who traveled with me to the conventions in 04 and 08, Andrea Bernstein. Hi, Andrea.
Hey, Brian.
Is the first thing to remember over the next 2 weeks that these are not conventions in the old-fashioned sense of convening to make decisions, but really just big infomercials?
Yeah, but let's be realistic. I am not sure that there's actually been news at any of the conventions since I was about 7 years old, which was a long, long, long time ago. So in the modern convention world, this is a chance for voters to get read in on what political candidates are saying, for the campaigns to test out their themes, introduce their candidates. I mean, as much as we've been paying attention, a lot of folks haven't. So now they will start.
And so one of the stories to tell from the conventions is how each party is trying to sell itself to the public that is just starting to pay attention, unlike most of you folks who listen to this show. Is it tougher for Obama in a way, Andrew, because with 4 years in office, people already know what they think of him. So what he says on stage, or what the keynote speaker, the mayor of San Antonio, or what Bill Clinton says in his Wednesday night speech really won't matter as much as what Romney and Ryan do?
Well, Obama still has a big job. There's sort of two things that he is facing right now. One is that, so around this time 4 years ago, Obama was getting ready to face the crowd in Denver. And one of his big tasks, and it's sort of hard to remember this because he won by such a landslide. But here was, as he described himself, a skinny kid with a funny name, also African-American, and he had to step out in Denver and make people think of him as somebody who could be president. And that was a big part of his job. What a lot of the campaign against him has been about has been sort of undermining that image, the whole thing with he smoked pot and went in high school and all these other things. They're almost sort of trying to get to undo people's impression of him as the president of the United States. So he has to, A, reestablish himself as someone sort of as the commander in chief and reproject that and reset that image in people's minds. And he also has a lot of work to do with the Democratic base because he's got to get them fired up. And you've heard on your show and I've heard and all of our political reporters have been hearing how unhappy Democrats are. So he has to go out there, perform his Obama magic and get everybody ready to work. So he has a big job.
You talk about undermining his image. I saw that they released yesterday what the theme of the Republican convention will be on Thursday night next week, the night that Romney speaks. And the theme is, we believe in America. Now, implicit in that, to me, is what you hear on conservative talk radio all the time, which is that Obama does not believe in America, that he's somehow other.
That's exactly right. And it wasn't too different from the convention theme in 2008, which was country first, which was also a suggestion that somehow the Democrats didn't subscribe to that, that this was a Republican theme. And even though that sort of doesn't make any sense, that a Republican Party convention would say we're the only ones who care about the country, that was a similar kind of argument that we are not really sure if we can trust the Democrats to do that.
Romney and Ryan will have to deal with the distraction of Todd Akin and the unwanted attention to the Republican platform calling for a constitutional amendment to ban all abortions without exception that we wouldn't have been talking about without Todd Akin. Or do you think that becomes last week's news and they can get back to jobs without much problem?
I think it's going to be a very interesting narrative to watch. I mean, it kind of fascinates me how much of this Republican political season has been spent talking about rape, reproductive rights, women's rights. When we all started this, Romney was sort of, I'm the businessman, I'm the guy that can deliver the Republican message about the economy. And yet we've spent so much time talking about these social issues. In some ways, all of us, social media, are not letting them forget, because that's really more, you know, interesting, and you know, talking about rape and all of this stuff is much more likely to stir chatter on the web and on social media than talking about jobs and the economy. So I don't think that they can avoid it, but it will be interesting to see how they navigate that during this week. And of course, they are also speaking to their party faithful, whom they also have to fire up. And these are some of the themes that get that part of the Republican Party going.
WNYC's Andrea Bernstein with us, previewing the Democratic and Republican conventions. Of course, the GOP convention begins, weather permitting, on Monday. Here is Governor Christie with, I guess, what is the party's new line about its own platform. It doesn't matter.
I don't really care about the platform. And I don't think most Republicans care about the platform, and I don't think most Republicans could tell you what the hell the platform said.
He always finds a way to say, what the hell, or get the hell off, or
or to use words we can't say on the radio.
Well, you could say that one on the radio sparingly. But that's a new one in my experience with conventions. Party leaders dismissing their own party platform rather than expressing pride in it and saying, no, it's the policies that matter of the candidate, not the party.
Well, this is the conundrum of Christie, and Nancy Solomon, the New Jersey Public Radio managing editor, has been reporting on this, and we'll be continuing to watch it through the next week. He represents a state which, for all that Republicans like to argue, is a swing state, in fact, in presidential elections, has been reliably blue for many, many election cycles. And in presidential elections, New Jersey has voted for the Democrat for a long, long time. So he represents that state. He's the Republican governor. So he can't sort of not recognize that streak in New Jerseyans. On the other hand, he is the keynote speaker of the Republican Party out to deliver a message. And that's the tightrope that he's going to be walking next week.
As a matter of fact, here is Chris Christie in response to a question on WCBS radio about how he's going to present himself to the public next week. Is he going to be, you know, too rough-edged, as maybe he was flirting with even in that clip that we just played, and put a negative face rather than a positive face on the party?
I don't think they have any expectation, nor have they requested, that I have a personality-ectomy, you know, between now and next Tuesday. You know, it's kind of – they know what they're buying.
I don't think I've ever heard the word personality-ectomy before, so Chris Christie may make it into the new words of 2012, Merriam-Webster or Oxford or whoever it is.
You know, look, a Chris Christie can fire up the base just like Rudy Giuliani, who was the keynote speaker last time around, did with the drill baby drill comment. Those were his words, even though he obviously had a very different position on many issues, including abortion and gay rights, from his position really different from his own party. I don't remember Giuliani ever saying, I don't care about the platform, but Giuliani was wonderful for Republicans during that convention in terms of getting them energized. And I think that that is the role that Chris Christie is going to be expected to play, and if passed as prologue, will play in Tampa next week.
Now, they're talking about moving the official nomination of Romney from Wednesday to Monday, not his speech, but the ritual where all the state's delegations shout out who they're voting for on the convention floor and the nomination becomes official. Apparently, this is not just to get it in before the possible hurricane, but also to prevent Ron Paul supporters from having some kind of moment. You know what that's about?
I don't know what that's about. I mean, I do think, interestingly, we've been talking about Christie, and the last time I looked at the hurricane track, the heavy rains were expected to hit Tampa just exactly about the time that Chris Christie was delivering his keynote address. So I think that there is some real anxiety in Tampa about sort of taking care of all the business that has to happen. And, you know, a lot of delegates did vote for Ron Paul and may make a ruckus. And I'm sure Romney wants to settle that. Now, it's interesting because in 2008 in Denver, when we were there, you might remember that when we arrived that Monday, half of the delegates, just about half of the delegates, were Hillary Clinton delegates. And just a little bit more than half, so it was like, you know, 48-52, 49-51 were from Barack Obama. So there's a big, big, big split. And one of the things they had to do during that week was weave it all together. That is something that the Republicans are also going to have to be thinking about in Tampa next week.
Let me ask you to put on your Transportation Nation hat, because yesterday's news was interesting with Romney announcing his energy policy, which was all fossil fuels and nuclear. Now, you must have noticed this. It isn't just a global warming deniers energy platform. It was a conservation deniers. He opposes the president's mileage requirements and nothing about renewables, not a mention of pollution as a factor or global warming as a factor, other than to say he would have the government stop investing in renewable fuel development. It was kind of an all or nothing energy policy from things like this that Mitt Romney said.
Sometimes I have the impression that the whole regulatory attitude of the administration is trying to stop oil and gas and coal, that they don't want those sources, that instead they want to get those things so expensive and so rare that wind and solar become highly cost-effective and efficient.
So it's pretty stark, Andrea, and I wonder what you think Obama's response would be. Would he say, yeah, we really do want to diminish the use of oil and coal, and we really do want to increase the marketability of wind and solar and other renewables, and we just have a simple, stark difference on the issue here between the candidates?
Well, this is an issue that is extremely complex. So comparing 2008 to now, John McCain used to talk about climate change all the time. This is something that is now off the agenda for John McCain. It is
McCain
also,
and Obama were
right,
both for cap and trade.
Exactly. Now, interestingly, you don't hear Obama talk about climate change. And I remember a year ago or so watching him deliver a speech in front of Georgetown, and he went off script and talked about climate change. And I thought, that is really interesting, because that wasn't written there. So he's not talking about it. Romney's not talking about it, even though the Obama administration has a pro fuel efficiency, very aggressive agenda that they've carried out with the DOT and the EPA. On the other hand, Obama is still for extraction. In fact, I get press releases all the time from the White House talking about all the leases they've signed for drilling. What is interesting about the Mitt Romney position is it is the same as the drill babies drill, Sarah Palin, Rudy Giuliani position, but that the idea that climate change might be an issue is very, very, very far from the Republican Party agenda platform, if you will, which we're talking about just a little earlier.
Rudy Giuliani will be one of our guests next week, by the way, from the Republican convention here on the Brian Lehrer Show. But just quickly, does that line about drill, baby, drill sell to swing voters, or is it just the get out the base crowd, or is it irrelevant to anything?
It's interesting, because if you think about a swing state like Colorado, that is a very pro-mineral extraction state. It is also a very pro-environmental state. So those independents sort of believe in all of that, but they believe in conservation at the same time. And those are the people that both candidates really are going to need to speak to. So it is a fine line to walk, and we'll have to be watching how they do it.
WNYC's Andrea Bernstein. Again, our convention coverage beginning on Monday includes our political reporters, Anna Sale, Bob Henley, and Todd Zwillick on the scene. I'll be here for a 7 o'clock convention night call-in every night that they're in session, in addition to our usual Brian Lehrer Show. So a lot to listen for next week. Andrea, we'll be talking.
We'll be talking, Brian. Thanks.
And folks, in case you're interested, I'll be talking about the conventions and other politics as a guest on New York One's Reporters Roundtable tonight at 7:30 and 10:30.